Welcome to Smart Companies Thinking Bigger Radio. Get the inside scoop on how America's most successful business owners transform their entrepreneurial vision into reality. And listen in as some of the top business minds in the country serve up practical advice, tips, and insights for growing your business. Now here's your host, Kelly Scanlon.
Good morning. Welcome to Smart Companies Radio. My name is Kelly Scanlon, and I'm the publisher of Thinking Bigger Business Media. Our guest today is Sheila Owenberg. She is the founder of the Sorella Group, and she is going to talk to you about what that company does, what her entrepreneurial journey has been, and where she sees the Sorella Group going in the next several years. Welcome to the show today, Sheila.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the Sorella Group. Tell us what it does.
We are a specialty carpentry company based in Lenexa, Kansas, and we work throughout the United States. We furnish and install specialty construction, which include toilet partitions, operable partitions, and furnish and install finished carpentry and rough carpentry, which would be cabinets, doors, frames, hardware, backing, blocking, that kind of thing.
Okay, so you do a lot of interior work then?
Mostly interior and all commercial.
Okay, so commercial, interior work, and you pretty much cover the gamut when it comes to that. What inspired you to start the Sorella Group? What were the circumstances that led up to that?
Well, I was a project manager for a general contractor, and they were changing their business model. So I decided that I wanted to just, do it, be a subcontractor of some kind, and really started out in the basement of my house. And I don't know that I thought I was going to leave there. But about 6 months later, I had a lot of product coming in, and I had to find some office space. And we just had an accelerated business plan in about 6 months.
How did you go about then building the business? Because obviously you didn't think it was going to happen as fast as it did. So, okay, now I'm in business for myself. This is actually operating. And sometimes you get caught, and a lot of entrepreneurs have that happen, and things just take off faster than they anticipated, and then all of a sudden they get this growth and have to learn how to manage it, or they have that initial growth spurt, and then it kind of tapers off. So tell us about how you grew the business.
Well, we really started out only doing work with customers that we knew or that had a reputation, really somebody that we knew. And it started out with we were only going to supply three items, and that was toilet partitions, lockers, and toilet accessories. And then we would have customers that were really good to us, call and ask us if we could add, could you provide this, or could you provide that, and can you provide labor? And then it led into, can you work in California? Can you work in Washington, D.C.? Can you travel with us? So really it has been requests of our customers with really good relationships that we've had, and we've just adapted. It has been 11 years of adapting.
Yeah. What is that thing? You can, all the planning in the world, and it's just, you have to plan, but then you have to be prepared to shift as well. I heard a great phrase a while back that calls shift happens, and it sounds like that's kind of been your 11-year-old story. What prepared you for business ownership? You mentioned that you had been working in the industry, but were there any other influences? Did you have entrepreneurial influences growing up or in any other way?
I did not. I did not have any entrepreneurial folks in my family. And it was, I said after the first year that I was in business, and I continue to say, wow, I didn't know what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of classes, in any type of meetings that they have talking about business, and, getting out and meeting people and trying to learn everything that I could possibly learn about so many different areas being a business owner.
Sure. Was there any particular organization or resource that helped you the most?
I would say the Subcontractors Association helped me the most in when it comes to contracts and managing business, that type of thing. And I've had, you know, several people throughout the construction industry that you can call up on any day and ask, what do you think about this or what do you think about that? Business references, anywhere from banking to insurance, that type of stuff.
Sure. And Kansas City is a great place to get assistance. I feel like at least over the last 25 years that resource pool has grown and that people are really excited to help you for the most part. And obviously, too, the industry resources like you just mentioned. Did you find anything, obviously, you know, you said you didn't have the entrepreneurial background and so you had to learn as you went along, especially with a lot of the nuts and bolts, it sounds like. But was there anything about business ownership that especially surprised you?
I think that the way that labor laws and those types of things constantly change, anywhere from the health insurance to contract law by state, those types of things, and how one keeps up with those things. Especially as a small business owner, having to, read and know people that tell you, oh, don't forget that this changed or that changed, or tax law, that type of stuff.
Sure. Yeah, and especially in your industry, it would seem like you'd have to be very careful about safety issues and labor law issues, that would be a huge deal for you. Speaking of people, how do you develop the people in your organization? What do you do to keep good people? Because it seems like other people in the construction industry that I talk to have a really hard time getting skilled labor and being able to keep good people.
Right. Skilled labor in the field-wise, we have we now have an operations manager who works diligently to recruit and to train and to get the field workers in a position to where they're doing and they're doing what they want to do, and then they excel in certain areas. A lot of them, because we do travel, we have a younger crew, and a lot of those guys get to travel and see things that they wouldn't otherwise see.
Ah, so a little bit of a perk there.
Yeah.
What do you think has been your secret weapon, that secret sauce or factor that has allowed the Sorella Group to continue to succeed?
I think a lot of it is customer service, and most of the work that we do is some form of government work. Mm-hmm. And along with government work, there's a lot of paperwork and a lot of rules to know, and we're really good rule followers. I think that is, which in the customer service wise, it really helps when we turn all of our paperwork in and we know what it is and know what all certifications we have to have. It is, we do really well with that.
So over the last 11 years, as you've mentioned, you've had to adapt, you've had to change, nothing has stayed the same. What have you been most proud of, though? What do you think has been one of your biggest achievements?
One of the biggest achievements as a business for Sorella Group is, I want to say, right now, the New Orleans Airport is a project that we're very proud of. We worked, airports take a very long time to actually happen, and it's a large project, and it's pretty intense, and, we stuck with it, and it took us about, I want to say, we started working on it about 5 years ago.
And how long did that take, that project?
So the project is still underway. We started there. Our boots on the ground with the full crew will be the end of December, beginning of January, and we won't be done for about 18 months.
Okay. Is airport work something that the Sorella Group does a lot of? Is this the first time you have worked on an airport, and that's why you're excited about having retained the account?
We've worked on several airports, just not one this large.
I see. Okay. And how did you get into that business? I mean, you don't wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'm just going to go after airports. How did that happen?
Yes, that did not happen. We had a customer that was working on an airport. and said, do you guys want to work on this? And we really hesitated a little because it was a bigger project for us at the time. It was probably 8 years ago. Kind of got together and strategized and said, yeah, we're going to give it a shot. It was a big job for us then. And we went for it. And then we get on those lists where we've already worked on airports. We're already mm-hmm. experienced. We've already done the background checks. We've already done all of the paperwork. And then we just have done one after another.
Yeah. And would you say then that that's something that you do most of your work in that area these days, or is it more spread out, more diversified?
I would say from a volume perspective, about 40% of our work is airports.
Okay, so a significant amount.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about getting started and a few of the growing pains and so forth, but when you think about your business on a day-to-day basis, you know, running your business day in and day out, what is a recurring kind of challenge that you face that just doesn't seem to, I guess you could even say it goes along with the territory because it's something that's just constantly there. What do you find there?
Personally, my biggest challenge is letting go and letting other folks within the company do their job. I haven't had to have that conversation. They've had to have that conversation with me. You hired us to do this. Now let us do our job. Because it's, my baby, and it's, something that has been my life for the last 11 years, and it's, letting go. But hiring, we've hired the right people in the right place, and now it's time. So.
Yeah. What was it that finally, I know you said they talked to you, your staff talked to you, but what was it that finally was the catalyst, the thing that said, okay, they're absolutely right. And where I'm going here is a lot of times people don't listen or aren't ready to make a change until they feel pain. Did you get to a particular part of your business where it's like, okay, they're right, I cannot take another 90-hour week or something like that, that finally forced your hand to say, I have to trust these people?
Luckily, no. It was more of, are we going to grow or are we going to stay right where we're at? And that decision had to be made of what direction we want to go. Do we want to stay right where we're at, where I'm in the middle of everything, or am I going to let everybody do their thing and trust that it's going to happen?
Yeah. And that's a very common situation that business owners find themselves in, because they start out being the chief cook, bottle washer, expert in whatever they're delivering, and they control everything. They're at the top, spinning the plates, they're doing everything pretty much, and they start hiring people. And it is hard to let go. As you said, it's your baby. But you hit the nail on the head there when you, despite your best intentions, you really become an obstacle to the company with that approach, and you can't grow. And so what would be your advice to business owners who really, really struggle, now that you've been through it, that really, really struggle with that letting go part? How would you even tell them to get started doing it?
I would say the first thing would be the vetting process in the employees that you're going to hire, making sure that you've hired the right people, because you don't want to let go to the wrong person and then have to clean up messes.
Mm-hmm. That just reinforces that you shouldn't have let go, right?
Exactly. And so, yes, making sure that you have the right people and then making sure that your policies and procedures in place so that you can push that vision down to everybody that you now have on your team. If you don't have policies and procedures in place, then you're just setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. And they don't know and setting the expectations, because they don't know what you want them doing. They can't read your mind.
Right.
And how about the checking in part, the accountability and so forth? What's your philosophy on that?
I am not big on shadowing people or hovering over people, I should say. I am good with tell me what I need to know. Give me enough information so that I know what is going on. And, you know, if I'm going to get a phone call from somebody, I would rather hear it from you than them first, so I at least know what those, you know, at least, I should say a bad phone call. Not that I get those very often, but, you know, you don't want to be caught off guard in that sense. You know, give me enough information to know what's going on, good or bad.
Exactly. What do you think the future holds for the Sorella Group?
I think that the construction industry is great throughout the United States. I think that it's great in Kansas City right now with the new airport coming and everything that comes along with that from development. I think that growth and, you know, giving back, hopefully along with the growth that we have, one of our philosophies is giving back to the community, and hopefully we can, you know, take that and run with it.
Mm-hmm. Why do you, and you know, I find that in talking with a lot of Kansas City entrepreneurs, that giving back to the community is a high priority. Why do you feel that way?
I think that I was put in this place for a reason, and, you know, hoarding people and hoarding money is not one of them. And I just, you know, it's very important. It's important to, you know, give back to those that don't have what we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you come from that mentality of abundance, then I firmly believe that more comes, you know, rising tide lifts all boats kind of thing. So if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur just one piece of advice, what would it be?
One piece of advice for an entrepreneur.
Maybe something you wish you'd have known when you got started.
I would say that what we've talked about, that things are going to change. So when things don't turn out exactly like you expected them to turn out, don't freak out, because be prepared for things to change.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, sometimes they change for the better. You look back and you're really happy you didn't go down that original path that you thought was calling you. So sometimes it's a good thing. Any last thoughts about your industry or about entrepreneurship here in Kansas City as we close up today?
I think, like you said earlier, entrepreneurship and the support in Kansas City is great. And if you're starting a business or thinking about starting a business, there are so many people, you know, to reach out to. And I believe, you know, most everybody's very, very giving with their information and direction and help. So don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, don't go it alone. And as one very wise entrepreneur once told me, if you don't ask, you don't get. You might get a no, but you'll never get a yes if you don't ask. So that's wise advice. And if someone would like to talk with you some more, if they'd like to learn more about what you do or just have a conversation with you, how would they do that?
They could call or email over here at the Sorella Group.
Okay, and is that on your website?
Oh, yes. And, www.sorellagroup.com. And that's SorellaGroup.com.
Okay, SorellaGroup.com. You can go there and get the information. And if you'd like to chat with Sheila, give her a call, send her an email, and she'd be happy to have that conversation. Sheila, thank you so much for sharing about your company today, and we wish you much success. Please stay in touch.
Okay, thank you, Kelly.
And if you'd like to learn more about how to grow your business, please visit our website at ithinkbigger.com. Follow us on Facebook, Thinking Bigger Business Media, or on Twitter at ithinkbigger. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.